Hey everyone, I'm Madonna Guy. This is David Shiel.
Hello, everyone.
And I had a bit of a trio of clients recently that all made me think, what is causing that urgency in women and men as they get older? And so one of my clients made the comment to
Several
me,
people, women, your clients?
well, I've got one male as well, but yesterday I had three women. And one of them said something really interesting to me. She said, it always is triggered by heat. So she said, I can be washing up with hot and then she needs to pee. Or she can be hanging out clothes in the sun and need to pee.
And while having hot flushes, did you say?
No.
No,
It's the
not for
heat
that.
that stimulates needing to pee.
But
And
it's middle-aged people.
she's 70.
Yeah,
Yeah.
middle-aged to older.
So it made me have a bit of a Google because, she said it feels like a hot flush simultaneously, but it's not really. Because she hasn't had them for a long time. But so it was really interesting. So when I had a look, there's all this connections to hormone changes, and of course this happens in men as well. So we thought we'd do a quick little
What's it
one.
called? The menopause for women, and what's the word?
Andropause.
Andropause.
Andropause for men.
Because the
So,
lowering of testosterone
but your
instead of.
bladder isn't just a storage tank, it actually feels the changes in hormone. It senses your hormones in your body. Like, how cool is that?
Well, the interesting thing on that is that if you're going to get an
Yep, ultrasound.
ultrasound, or if you take your blood pressure, they say if you've got something in your bladder, it won't be as efficient.
Right, okay.
And
Because
so that's for both of those things.
interesting, because the bladder is covered in receptors. So it's covered in all of these receptors for estrogen, testosterone, cortisol, progesterone, and even gut-derived peptides. So a whole bunch of stuff. We've been chatting about the
Oh, because
tri-GLP.
the urine's releasing that stuff.
No, there's receptors for it. Yeah, probably because it's releasing it.
And it
Maybe.
is, and
It's
it, most things
interesting.
get detoxed through the urine of the.
Interesting. Well, 60% through the poop and 40% through
Oh,
the urine.
okay.
And of course, a lot through the skin. But we don't know a percentage for that. We just know it's our biggest organ. But rising progesterone, like women going through their cycles or people who are pregnancy, that relaxes the smooth muscle, and it's the bladder is smooth muscle, and then the bladder becomes reactive. So even pregnancy and, shifts throughout menstrual cycles can do it. But for men, as the testosterone declines, that weakens the pelvic floor as well.
Because this is interesting because with women's health, a lot of this stuff is kind of known a bit,
Yeah.
and a lot of guys talk about, especially when you're 50 and over,
Yes.
talking about bladder problems and urgency to pee. But I don't know if it's in
Well, the problem.
in the discussion
Yeah, probably
in the
not so
world.
much because mostly as people get men over the age of 50, 50% have an enlarged prostate. So everyone assumes it's a prostate. So all of a sudden they go to the doctor and they start getting their prostate hormones checked, like the PSA. And then they say, okay, and then they go and do the, butt test. And, and if it's enlarged, they blame everything on the prostate.
Which is
It's just.
they use as a testosterone reduction normally.
Yeah, they usually they can do little implants with estrogen, and they can do
Oh, so more estrogen.
because they blame it on the testosterone. The testosterone is not the problem, but they don't get that. But that's okay. So, and then they
Because men
sort
have
of
declining testosterone
they
from middle
hardly
age
ever
onwards anyway.
recommend testosterone blood tests, hardly ever. So men need to get their blood test checked for testosterone, and it needs to happen fairly young so you know what your baseline is. So there's no point waiting until 55, 60, 70 and then getting your
What do they
testosterone checked,
avoid
because
it? Is
what
it
is the doctor check
an
comparing it
expensive
to?
test? Like, why don't people do
Oh, they just don't do it because men don't want to be seen as unmasculine. So men are often embarrassed about checking their testosterone because they like to, it doesn't feel as unmanly to get your prostate checked. So if they can blame it on the prostate, then they don't have to admit they've got low testosterone. So there's a whole social thing going on there, which is rubbish.
No, there's a sex thing going on too, because it'd reduce your sex
Oh,
drive. And
absolutely.
I know people who've been on with prostate problems, they kind of can't really have sex after it.
Yeah, exactly. So they have to do the nerve sparing. There's nerve sparing operations that they can do, but a lot of the time they don't bother, and then men just feel rotten for the rest of their lives a lot of the time because, unfortunately, sex is a big part of life.
It
So
is a
the
big part of
decline.
life, and a lot of people, if they can't have sex, they just probably wonder why they're working so hard.
Well, but it's also that connection. Like, yes, I know it's not necessary for life, but it's certainly one of the wants and needs, Maslow's law, it's right up there. So, the declining testosterone weakens the pelvic floor, and that causes more urgency and frequency. And of course, if we do get the big prostates, men, there can be incomplete emptying, so there can be more bathroom trips as well. But everyone, the stress affects the bladder. And I, when my hubby actually, David used to be in a band with my hubby, and for many years. And
Ether.
when they were about to start playing, I needed to go pee. So for me, it was a stress thing. It was a, and there might be only a, bloody dribble, but it was a stress connect. I'd go, well, I've got to pee before they get on, and then I'd go and do another pee before they'd get on, and I'll tell you a funny story about Hugh Jackman later on too. But yeah, so but thyroid shifts can also change the output of our bladder. So as we get older, if our TSH, the thyroid stimulating hormone, if that is getting bigger, it means our thyroid is getting more sluggish.
Which means we probably need supplements that are
There are fantastic supplements for the thyroid. We need lots of nutrition to convert our T4 to T3. 20% of people don't have the genetic ability these days because we're so toxic and
Iodine.
inflamed. Yeah, iodine's one, tyrosine's another. In fact, thyroxine is made from iodine and tyrosine. So you know how we've got the adrenotone that's got tyrosine in? So adrenotone plus iodine is a really beautiful combination for the thyroid. And then it's got the ginsengs, and it's nourishing for the nervous system and all that sort of thing as well. But yeah, the thyroid, the more sluggish it gets, the less our bladder releases properly as well. And of course, the gut inflammation sends danger signals to the bladder. So, and that's where, the tri-GLP, the GLP-1, GLP-2, and GIP come in. But we'll chat about that down the track. So, and the way they really work is that when your bladder listens to your gut, so when the gut is inflamed or stressed or dysregulated, the bladder becomes jumpy, sensitive, and urgent. So it's sort of starting to make a bit of sense, doesn't it? But how common is it
I'll
here in
take that to
us?
mitochondria thing.
Yeah, everything's about the mitochondria because the mitochondria is about cellular signaling as
And
well.
people might have needed healthily as they get older either.
The what, sorry?
Oh no, I'm just thinking, middle age plus, there's so many things that go offline
Yeah.
when you're younger that you can do to keep your body in balance.
Oh, absolutely. And Linda Hoggard, my good friend, and I, we did three podcasts yesterday. One was about Stem Enhance, which is awesome for anti-aging, and it helps to heal anything in the body because it can become any body tissue type in the body, as well as the Sobrocon, which helps to keep your genes upregulated so that you are less likely to have inflammation, toxicity, cancer, all sorts of things. And the other one was the Masterpiece Zeolite. So I'll have links for all of those in the thing. But the way that the tri-GLP is linked is that because the GIP1 helps to calm down the vagus nerve, the GIP helps to improve the
GLP.
metabolic. Well, there's GLP and then there's GIP. So the GLP2 helps to support the gut lining integrity. The GLP1 helps to reduce the inflammatory signaling to the
So
bladder.
these are concentrated forms because these things are available in foods too. I
Yeah,
was looking up the other day.
absolutely. But sometimes the weight just doesn't shift anyway. So a concentrated form can be beneficial. And this is, unfortunately for vegans and vegetarians, this is not a vegan and vegetarian product, but it's awesome if people are not vegan and vegetarian. But yeah, we will be doing stuff on how to do the same thing with for vegans and vegetarians
Well, I looked
as
up a
we
list
learn
the other
more.
day. There's quite the foods that have those things in it are interestingly things that are good for everything else.
Yeah,
They're good for
exactly.
blood pressure, good for all types of
Yeah.
things. So we need to always improve our diet.
Yeah, but the GIP helps to support the vagus nerve, which calms the bladder reflexes. So people with this really irritating bladder, quite often the tri-GLP with the GIP, again, I'd never heard of that until a couple of weeks ago, it helps the pelvic floor and bladder muscles work more efficiently. So something, and like compared to drugs, there are lots of medications that supposedly help the bladder, but I've had women on them for years and years, and it
Well,
really hasn't helped.
here you've got a nervous system problem with the vagus nerve
Yeah.
and with the pelvic floor. So there's exercises you can do for the
Yeah,
pelvic floor.
we've got that down below. Yeah, we'll get there. Yeah. So, but it's really common. So here in Australia, I don't even know what our population is these days. The government's brought in 4.5 million people in the last few years. So we're somewhere between 25 and 30,000 million people, and about 4 million people in Australia have got urgency. So, that's pretty interesting. You know, what's that? One in six people? One in something like that? One in
Would
seven
they
people?
mostly be older people too?
Well, not necessarily. No,
No.
unfortunately, no. Because it's connected to the vagus nerve and because it's connected to stress, the sympathetic parasympathetic nervous system. I've treated a lot of young people with bladder urgency over the years. It's more common, obviously, as we age, but even young people, because of there's so many drugs that mess with, so people who get acne, and they take Roaccutane, that really messes with hormones. People who take things like anyway, there's lots of drugs that mess with hormonal output in the body, like even taking the pill. Taking the pill stops your pituitary gland,
So it
sorry.
messes with your endocrine
It
system.
totally messes with your endocrine system. Anything that's an endocrine disruptor, all the plastics and pesticides and herbicides, they can all affect our levels of hormones. So unfortunately, it's not just older people, but it's worse as we get older. So women see it more around childbirth and menopause. So childbirth can really affect it as well. Men see it more as testosterone drops and that prostate gets larger. And the reason the prostate gets larger as we get, we, I say we, but men, is
I
because,
don't have a prostate problem.
ha ha, well, some would argue, but let's not go there.
What do you mean? Oh, girls don't have
We
prostates.
don't have
Oh, I
prostates.
don't know that.
Oh,
I didn't know
sorry.
that until you said.
Oh, okay,
No, I
sorry.
didn't know
I thought you were joking,
that.
because men can have babies and all
All
that
right.
fun stuff. So anyway, just works.
No, I'm
That's all good. That's all good. So, but anyway, so stress, gut issues, and hormonal swings can be triggered at any age.
Right. There's a lot of room for counselling amongst all of that because
Yes.
a lot of it seems to be stress orientated.
Yes.
And if you could get that stress down, you can do so much with herbs and supplements and even drugs, but if you can get rid of the stress, well, that's pretty hard. As you get older, things just get.
Yeah, well, people even just get to the spot where they don't want to leave their house. And I've got clients like this who are quite young who don't want to go because they know their bladder might. They don't have a strong pelvic floor. So being able to tone, those tissues in the body and get that the gut bladder connection, the brain bladder connection, the exercises, all the things that we can do, it messes with our confidence and sexuality and freedom. Like, how do you go out there into the world when you might need
I
to
read
pee
a
every
study the
5
other day.
minutes?
I don't know how much it is related, but it was about older men and masturbating.
Right.
So they say that you should masturbate like 20 times a month
Yep.
to help with your prostate.
Well,
Because a lot of things when people get older, they're done, because the divorce rate's very high. So there's a
can you
lot
use
of.
another word for it so we don't get kicked off YouTube?
Oh, okay.
Let's say
How will that get you?
fluffing the chook.
Oh,
Well,
okay.
you think of something.
No, I can't think of anything.
Anyway, so because I even for
In the studies, that's what it says.
so fluffing the chook, there was a study done for the quality of sperm. So for infertility.
Motility.
So when I first did fertility management, which is about 35 years ago, what we were told is that men should wait, and then once you were ready to have, sex to have the baby, that's when you just go and release a fluff in the chook. But basically, what they found is that that's wrong. So because even from 25 years old, men have got there's this thing, sperm.
Motility.
No. It's to do with damage of the sperm. I can't think of the term. So these poor little sperm, which are like 90% zinc by weight, the motility is one thing, but they actually have the there's so much oxidative stress in people these days because of toxicity that the sperm are like they've been swimming around with a bloody piranha. They've got all these little chunks taken off them. So they're not good, healthy sperm. Damn, I can't think of what the word is. But the new recommendation is for men to go their hardest, fluffing the chook, beforehand, because then you're getting a fresh batch of
Right,
sperm that
because you're
hasn't been hanging
making
around
half a
in
new
there.
one.
Yeah, so it's actually better to. So I started telling.
It's a funny thing to talk about. But once again, with that, there's a lot of embarrassment, confidence, and caught up in it. Whereas they're told in these studies, don't be embarrassed about it, it's really healthy. Just saying,
No, I totally
but that
agree.
came up when I was researching this type of stuff.
Yeah, and some people won't do it, but there's nothing wrong with it. Even, can I tell another funny story? So the Renew 28, my little friend Renergy, who's just bloody adorable and introduced me to it. I love it. It's just awesome. But she had this old farmer in here doing a massage one day, and he was talking to her about ED. Erectile dysfunction. And he said, oh, it hasn't worked in years since I had my prostate operation.
Oh,
And
yeah,
she
that's
said,
what happened.
yeah, and she sort of was talking to him about the Renew, and she said, and she's this lovely little Filipino. She's going, well, maybe you could try using the Renew. Just every time you go to the toilet, just rub it in. And anyway, so by the time he came back next time, it started working again.
Really?
So because it helps to renew, regenerate, and detox the cells, and it improves the mitochondrial function. And actually, my hubby and I last night, because I did all sorts of stuff about the prostate and things last night, because I was answering a question on the tri-GLP for one of my clients, because he's got ED. And anyway, so
What's he doing?
erectile dysfunction. I'm
Who?
not telling you who.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were right.
Sorry. Yeah,
No,
no,
please
I'm not
don't
going
put
to
that
do
down.
that. No, not at all. No, never. No. Anyway, so it was sort of funny because I was looking it up, and there were all these pictures of, penises off on the right with, Googling. And Jay said, oh my God. And we were just looking at this cross section of the penis. It's really interesting. You should go have a
Oh,
look.
right. The.
There's so many layers. No. There's so many layers. Like, it's really. Anyway, so very, very interesting that Renew 28 helped this farmer guy.
It's
You know, and he was like,
a gel.
So it's a gel, and yeah. So yeah, it's not something in a box. Yeah. Anyway, so just funny. I'll put the link below as well. So AI, remind me to put that in the links. So, but it does, it messes with people's confidence, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Bit of a weird conversation we're having.
I didn't think we'd get. I didn't think we'd get to this, but let's go.
So then there are natural things that can help, which is really awesome. So pumpkin seeds, incredibly good for the prostate. So pumpkin seed, you can get them as extract. They can be in supplements. You can just eat your darn pumpkin seeds. But it supports a bladder tone and reduces urgency.
Pumpkin seeds you can fry up too.
Yeah, right.
You can just cook them and they taste quite
Oh, well,
nicely.
your wife makes those delicious
Oh, out of every type of seed.
seed cookies sort of
Yeah,
thing.
often 10 seeds and.
And what does she use to mush it all up?
Oh, those things. Oh, I can't remember what she does.
Anyway, they're bloody yummy.
Seed
Anyway,
crackers.
it's all good. But magnesium can also help to calm the spasms and support muscle relaxation. Vitamin D sometimes helps the nerve and muscle function. Probiotics, especially with women, because there's specific probiotics that help the vaginal microbiome and reduce irritation and the whole urinary tract. But for men, there's a herb called saw palmetto. Really, really fantastic. Also, tribulus. So, saw palmetto helps with prostate health and reduces
Because
frequency.
that's a herb itself, whereas tribulus is a
No,
mix.
tribulus is a herb.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, so
Oh.
tribulus raises testosterone, and L-arginine helps to improve the blood flow. It actually improves nitric oxide.
Right.
So, the lower our nitric oxide get, the more likely we are to end up with erectile dysfunction and
If what?
L-arginine. So if we're low in L-arginine, we lower our nitric oxide. The lower our nitric
Oh, yeah,
oxide, the
yeah.
more likely we are to have.
Yeah, that's right, because
And
that.
again, I'm using the royal we.
No, yeah, because we in both this whole area down here around
Oh.
lower gut, they say around the sexual areas it's like a sponge or
Yeah.
and so it fills up really quickly.
Yes.
And nitrous oxide helps that.
And
Nitric
unfortunately, the
oxide.
more tummy fat we have, the more likely we are to end up with those because it cha the tummy fat changes the combination of estrogen, progesterone, testosterone. And for women, it can convert our estrogen into a dodgy testosterone. For men, it can convert our testosterone into a dodgy estrogen. So then we end up having this whole mess because the tummy fat becomes the major endocrine organ in the body,
Right. And then
which sucks.
then toxins and microplastics
Oh, yeah.
don't help any of that at all.
No, so that's where the good old Broccon, so the Broccon is awesome for that. So that helps to flip on our genes.
That's concentrated sulfuraphane.
Incredible, like it's equivalent to about 22 things of broccoli a day in a boost. And then the Broccon Masterpiece Zeolites helps to pull out the microplastics, the glyphosates, the herbicides, all of that sort of goodies. So again, AI, remind me.
Helps metabolize them.
Yeah, so that helps to and take them out of the body. So a lot of the time, if you just do a sauna, you can be mobilizing toxins, but sometimes it doesn't leave. You know, if you just drink more water and lemon juice and stuff, you can be mobilizing it. But if your liver is blocked up, if your kidneys aren't working, if your skin's blocked, if your lymphatics is blocked, sometimes it doesn't leave. So just because you're mobilizing toxins does not mean they're leaving the body. So masterpiece of your life, bloody awesome. So the GLP-1 booster. So we were talking about the tri-GLP before. So GLP-1, GLP-2, and GIP. Obviously, we've got the concentrate. I'll have the list below. But the good things about foods that we can do for GLP-1 are all the stuff that you love. So the things like the bitter foods, the vinegar, the protein-rich foods, and the slow-digesting fibers. And the
Slow
GLP-2.
digesting fibers.
Yeah. And the
They're all
GLP.
because they're all because it's all of that stuff is plant based,
Yes.
and it helps nourish the mitochondria
Yeah.
because the
The microbiome.
microbiome and they say that I was reading an article the other day, the more varieties of plant stuff.
Eat the rainbow.
Eat the rainbow,
Yeah.
but it's also there's like it includes so many things because it includes herbs and spices
Yeah.
and it includes every type of plant-based thing.
Yeah.
They all have different levels of cellulose and fiber,
Exactly.
and the variety helps nourish it
Yeah.
apparently.
So GLP-2 boosters are things like fermented foods, resistant starch, polyphenols, that's a eat the rainbow, berry, KO herbs, that sort of thing, and gentle fasting. You know, so do some gentle fasting and then you're feeding and then you're fasting. So that also helps to stimulate the GLP-2. And then the GIP boosters are the things like making sure your food, your diet has got good amounts of protein and fiber and healthy fats. And that helps to stabilize blood sugar
Funny, all this
patterns.
stuff's good for heart health too,
Ah,
and a lot of other things. So
it's
it's
all
funny
good for.
how good nutrition overlaps.
Yes, well, naturopaths always say, you're not what you eat, you are what you digest. So you have to digest and absorb it as well. So anyway, so that's all really cool. So while that tri-GLP combo, the GLP-1, GLP-2, and GIP, what that does is help to signal the strong gut brain bladder axis, allowing it to be calmer, steadier, and less reactive, which I think is pretty cool. Pelvic floor
So
training,
many,
men and
so
women
many,
need to do it.
so many people have this problem. I mean, because
Yeah.
all my friends are older, so they're talking about it a lot.
Yeah.
They always talk about
Yeah. Well, it's probably about 1 in 8 Aussies, 1 in 7 to 1 in 8 Aussies, which
it.
is pretty big when you think about, you know, that's huge. So yeah, pelvic floor training really important for both men
You
and
can get
women.
videos online for the pelvic
Oh,
floor training.
absolutely, absolutely. Reducing the bladder irritants, you know, things that irritate the bladder, and everyone's different, but coffee and alcohol, fizzy drinks, spicy foods, hydrating steadily. I have never done this in my life, but I used to have a practitioner, Norm, and he would say to me, whenever you're drinking your water, make sure you drink a maximum of 60 mils at a time and do that every hour. And I said, Norm, I'm never going to do that. I'm a guzzler. So, and he'd say, well, you're never going to fix your problem then. I go, well, I can't do
Some
that.
people are bad at drinking water like me. So what I do is I have a water bottle because I can drink it faster.
Yeah.
It goes down a lot
I
quicker.
love drinking water.
And
Purified water, because chlorine and fluoride mess with your tri-GLP in your gut. They destroy those little guys, those metabolites in the gut. So that sort of sucks too. So pure water, pure water, pure water. And we've got to learn to manage our stress. And like we've been chatting about over and over again, sometimes we're going into that cage, whether the cage is our workplace, whether it's a school, whether it's a university, whether it's our home. You know, sometimes we're constantly going back to an environment that isn't safe. And then
And
that's
often
going
they're
to.
environments that you can't stop because you need a job and you need a family. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? And even though they might be causing stress, it's good to develop a series of things that help with that because chronic stress exacerbates every bad
Yeah.
condition.
Yeah, that's right. So, whatever you need to make that place happy and healthy and whole for you, whether it's having plants around the place, you know, getting your crystals out, you know, become a, you know, there's lots of things like playing music, becoming a musician, you know, get a musical instrument so that you've got something to do with your mind and your brain, starting knitting or crochet or something like that to keep your hands and your mind busy,
Yeah, all
you
the
know?
things that make the happy hormones get
Yeah,
running.
exactly. Exactly. So, that was a quick little overview of
That's really
what's going
interesting.
on, you know, with men and women's hormones and how it's It can really be helped.
Right.
Everything can be helped. But there's always more than one solution. So it's about finding what works for you. I'll have some links below. And I'm surprised, actually, let's pause for one
Okay,
second.
there's.
Okay, keep talking.
No, you're right.
No, keep talking.
Oh, because there's another thing that's, like losing weight, for instance. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes it's important to get balanced first so that you're able to take on something new that's stressful. So it's good to work away at this stuff over time. Do you think?
Say that again, sorry.
Oh, it's
Sorry.
like,
Oh, sorry, I was going to say about the psychology of it, and this is where you come in, of course. So your bladder doesn't just respond to hormones, it also responds to your mind.
Right.
So this is where, it's a psychological phenomenon. Urgency is biological, but it's also psychological.
Right.
So your hormones shift, your gut shifts. Your stress shifts, your perception shifts, and your bladder reacts to all of it.
Right. And you mightn't even notice that happening because it probably might happen over time as well.
Yeah.
And so, dealing with the stresses, that's what I was saying. It's often good to become balanced first. Like, just say you want to go on a hard diet,
Yeah.
fasting or something, it's good to get a healthy diet going first.
Yeah.
And so that you can get in a balance so that when you do the difficult thing,
Yeah.
which should be a healthy stress,
Yes.
right, you're able to cope with that change as
Yeah.
well.
Yeah.
And then with that, you might need some herbal support or, that type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So the bladder's why, so the bladder, the way it's wired to that emotional brain is so that the amygdala, detects threat. Then the insula in the brain, it's looking at body sensations. The anterior cingulate gyrus, it's about urgency plus discomfort. And the prefrontal cortex is about attention and interpretation. So therefore your bladder is constantly reacting to stress and anticipation and embarrassment, social pressure, fear of not finding a toilet, past experiences, emotional states. So that's why it always feels worse before a meeting or on a long drive or when you're anxious, when you're trying to sleep, and when you're worried about needing to pee. Your brain switches up the signal. It goes, no, don't make me do it. So again, that's why, all the things we've been chatting about can help this.
Interesting.
Cool. That was awesome.
Hey, that was
Great,
good.
good. Gotta
Well,
love my clients who make me think about things more deeply.
well, it's an interesting topic because a lot of people have these difficulties and no one really knows what to do.
Yeah.
Like in the people I talk to, there's not very much, what do you do about this?
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, they'll be especially peeing during the night.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, oh, I need to go now,
Yeah, that urgency, and it is, it's an urgent sturgeon. Excellent. Okay, see you later, everyone. Mwah! Have a
Have
great
fun.
day.